Stop this one. Uncut female.
Welcome to the Heritage of Reindeer Herding, Voices of Herders on the Seward Peninsula in Alaska.
01-2282.
Within the last four decades, changes in reindeer herding practices due to the introduction of new technology has been astounding. Snow machines, fixed-wing aircraft, helicopters, and radio collars have provided needed assistance to herders in their labor-intensive occupation. These improvements, however, come at a cost barely affordable by most Seward Peninsula herders, even in the best of times when the price of antlers and meat is high. Before the mid-1960s, all reindeer herding was conducted on foot with the aid of trained reindeer dogs. Herders lived in camps which were moved frequently to follow the wide-ranging herds. Dog teams and draft sled deer were used to haul camp gear, and the reindeer dogs were critical for managing the herds. Longtime herder Herb Carman reflects on these times. Johnson Stalker, another experienced herder, lived and worked with the reindeer, learning their ways from his uncle Ross.
What they used to do is they used to make sled deer to haul their camping stuff wherever they went, you know, wintertime. They didn't have no fire stoves them. I don't know how they kept warm. They did it some way. They did a lot of walking. They know where everything grows and what doesn't. Pretty proud of them people. They showed us a lot. Dad showed me a lot.
Come along, reindeer boys, come along, reindeer boys, and have your fun with your own wild. John Stalker made wild North Pole and North Star. Most of my life I've been walking. When you're with the reindeer, all you do is just stay with them. You got a reindeer dog with you, and of course your binoculars. Sometimes we use weather to be a reindeer herder, just through the wind. They go towards the wind when it's kind of hot and mosquitoes bother. And then sooner or later, there'll be a big bunch of reindeer come down, bucking the wind, and they'll be right there. Make a song out of what we do, the names of our sled deer. We call them sled deer because when we first tie them on a halter, you make a halter just right. Some of them, they're smart. They take them off, and then you'll lose it. My Uncle Ross taught me how. That's why I got the names of my sled deer, because of my Uncle Ross, like Honeycomb, like Happy Home. I copy him.
The biggest change in herding methods occurred with the advent of snow machines. Snow machines provide high-speed transport, allowing herding operations based at remote camps to be replaced by commutes from permanent villages. Nathan Hadley talks about the positive and negative aspects of snow machines becoming a part of his everyday life as a reindeer herder.
1965, when I first get the snow machine, I didn't know much about snow machines, and I didn't get extra parts. And I raked down way out there by my reindeer, and me and my brother-in-law had to walk home. But when we learn our snow machines, we get life really easier. You don't have to drive reindeer to go get a bunch. You just jump in your snow machine and do it.
Although the physical labor associated with reindeer herding decreased with the increased use of snow machines, herders face the more serious problem of maintaining a sufficiently large reindeer herd to make their operations economically viable. Herder Merlin Henry tells about how he figures the economics.
It gets real hard for me as a reindeer herder, and you can't make any more money off reindeer, like selling reindeer meat and dehorning reindeer. And I couldn't make that kind of money, and I couldn't keep up with my snow machine. I couldn't get parts no more. You know, I have to pay for my snow machine parts, like a track, skis. With 800 to 1,000 reindeer, you can operate with what you make off reindeer all year round. You can't handle reindeer if you got 200, unless you got money in a bank. But that money in a bank don't last, because you got to buy a new snow machine to keep up with the reindeer.
New technology also helped keep track of the herds in the summer, when some herders turned to helicopters and fixed-wing aircraft. Herder Donnie Olson sums up the dilemma of keeping track of reindeer.
When you look at the ways to go and find the deer, and you can cover so much more ground, even with a snow machine, than you can even with a dog team in a fairly short period of time. Once you get into a helicopter, I mean, you just get up to an altitude and you just look all over with your binoculars. The decision to go ahead and use a helicopter or not is based pretty much on the financial capability of the herd.
Eager to incorporate new methods of enhancing the control of their reindeer, herders continue to look to technology. The most recent breakthrough has been the use of radio and satellite collars to track herd movements over large ranges, but it has not been without problems. Herder Leonard Olana shares his experiences with telemetry.
Every 5 days, you know, there's a cycle that kind of takes place on these satellite collars, that there's an update, like from one place they would be here, another 5 days, maybe they would be in a different location, especially during the summertime, which they would be in one spot, and all of a sudden they would be maybe another 25, 30 miles, a different place, probably due to a bear.
Advances in radio and satellite telemetry have been timely as the numbers of wild caribou on the Seward Peninsula have increased. These close wild relatives of the reindeer lead entire herds away from their traditional ranges like sheep. Losing their reindeer herds at an alarming rate, herders have turned to satellite tracking techniques to monitor their herds and the comings and goings of the migratory wild caribou. Coordinator for the Seward Peninsula Reindeer Herders Association, Rose Fostick, describes the events leading up to the use of satellite collars and the role the association plays.
The Western Arctic caribou herd was having a very devastating effect on the reindeer herders. I think the best thing that they have been able to come up with is a cooperative effort between University of Alaska Fairbanks Reindeer Research Program and Natural Resource Conservation Service in putting satellite collars or radio collars on reindeer and finding their location in a short period of time so they could move reindeer out of the way. We've been able to work with private companies, an airline pilot, and an airline company that owns a helicopter. We also look to Fish and Game to locate the satellite collars for caribou because they do put collars on caribou also. So then we start to pay attention very closely to the caribou maps that are generated by Fish and Game out of their collar program and start sharing the maps with the herders.
Today's herders have faith that new technology can provide solutions to the problems they face in maintaining their herds. They are quick to recognize, however, that there is no substitute for time on the tundra with the reindeer. Herder Roger Manaluk put it well.
One of my daughters work at the IRA office and know exactly where the reindeer is on a computer. They bring me a sheet and say, oh, your deer haven't moved yet, so I don't have to go out today. That's a good thing about it. I think that's what makes it kind of lazy, too. Because even if the deer is still blinking on that radio call, I never know if that wolf can be right around that herd, you know. And here you're at home watching TV because you figure your reindeer is safe.
Funding was provided by the National Science Foundation Arctic System Science Program. This is Kathy Turco.